Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in, everybody, to another live edition of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. And, of course, as always, DK in the background drinking a beer as we speak. Nothing new. No, I'm totally kidding, DK. He's showing it's like a Diet Coke or something. It's water. It's a seltzer water. We are excited to be here, ladies and gentlemen. It's officially April. Mm-hmm. It is draft season, hot and heavy. But there's also all kinds of stuff going on around the league for the Baltimore Ravens. Free agency landscape is changing and things of that nature. So we're here to talk about all of it. I'm excited to talk with you guys about it. Last week we did a first round collaborative draft. Mm-hmm. And this week, Glenn, if I understand correctly, unless our wires are crossed, we're doing a three round draft. And the only thing I want to know is, do you have three rounds? Like, I have three rounds already picked, and I would like to compete. And I could do three.
I don't have it like ready to display, but I have multiple players in each round that I'm prepared to select.
Yeah. And what I think is, we'll go through the simulator.
Okay.
And then we'll pop up our grades and our players and give our justifications really and let the people decide.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Cool. But how you doing, Glenn?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Been loving to see what the Orioles have done to start the season. Had the walk-off win last night, which was really fun to watch. And they were trailing for most of the game and end up pulling that game out, which was awesome. Down right now, but that's okay. There's still time. There's still time to make the comeback. But, yeah, I mean, excited to get into the draft. I don't know if you guys saw, Jimmy, I don't know if you saw a couple days ago. I know you saw Eric DaCosta did an interview, which I thought was pretty – he was more open than I was expecting him with some of the personal stories that he told and reflected on some of the mistakes he made by – He named names, Jimbo. He named names. He made it very clear who he was talking about in some scenarios. And I just found it very fascinating. I can't believe he opened up the way he did. But the biggest the thing that's getting most of the headlines is, man, he absolutely fried Kenny Young, right? Called him. I mean, coaches thought he was an idiot. Like, how surprised were you to see? And if you guys haven't seen, go look it up because it's certainly worth a watch. It's about an hour long, but it was a good one.
Yeah, no, that was surprising. I mean, he obviously felt very comfortable, very in his environment where he was at doing that event. But he had to have known once he named the team that everybody knew who that was going to be. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, that was the surprising thing for me. And it was funny because he even had an out and he said the Chargers initially. And then he said, no, the Rams. He corrected himself just to make sure everybody knew because that was the only guy. There was no more questions about who it was anymore. Like, who else have we traded to the Rams in midseason? It's Kenny. Right. It's Kenny Young. Kenny like, Young.
But I also agree, right? Huh?
How obtuse are you as Kenny Young to walk in your boss's office and throw an ice cream cone? But you know what, Glenn? This is one of my – I only have a few problems with athletes. I don't have a problem with their pay. I don't have a problem with any of that because, look, you are what the people are willing to pay you. That's your value. I don't have any problem with that. I get it. The open market is awesome. I enjoy it. But, dude, the entitlement is out of this world. Sometimes a little out of control for me. Like, dude, you think you're that much of a big deal to walk in your boss's office?
I can see him doing it, just slinging an ice cream gun, like, and it sticks to the side of the trash can.
Dude, that should it should just say like a wording on top of that. It should be a it just says when entitlement and stupidity have a baby.
Yeah.
Like so this dumb. Is what it looks like. Kenny, yeah. Come on, bro.
So dumb, dude. Like so dumb. And I love that he told the story. I thought that was absolutely savage, hilarious. Dude. Like he's like, look, I went from feeling bad about having to trade the guy to feeling absolutely thrilled about it. Couldn't wait to get him out of the office and out of the building. But yeah, that's pretty stunning. But he also talked about the acquisition of Earl Thomas, and he talked about how he learned a lot of patience because he didn't show patience in that moment, lost a couple of key guys, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, including Terrell Suggs and C.J. Mosley, and there was one, Eric Weddle. Mm-hmm. And so he was a bit reactionary, didn't sleep on it, which we all know is Ozzie's motto, and didn't make any big decisions without at least one night's sleep on it. He did not do that. He got reactionary. Go out and get the guy because he knew the tape, but he didn't know the player. I couldn't help but help to be like kind of surprised that he named again another name and talked about how that guy wasn't a fit for us personality wise, player wise maybe, but not personality wise.
Yeah,
I mean it's kind of surprising to see his openness about it, right?
I like it. I mean, I think it's cool as a newer age GM. I think it's. And the other thing, too, is that I feel like it's important just to be you. Like, if that's who you are as a person, that's certainly not who Ozzie Newsome is.
Right.
Like, if any of you have been at training camp, Ozzie Newsome sits in the very corner over by the garage, and he has an invisible force field around him that with his eyes say it all. You don't get near Ozzie. Mm-mm. He doesn't want to talk to you. He's not mean. I'm not saying he's a mean guy. He doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want you to talk to him. Right? Like, That's just how he is, right? Like, it's not that he's a mean guy. He's just got the little Kawhi Leonard to him a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if Eric's not that guy, hey, at least he's owning it and being true to himself, right?
That's true. You don't want to just be a carbon copy or a clone of.
Yeah, because if it's not you, it's you're not your best self, you know?
Exactly. But and look, I don't know how you would feel about this, but dude, he said he found out he was next in line in 2007, Jimbo. And did not have a timeline of when he would actually take the role. 12 years, Jimmy, he had to wait before he could take that role. We talk about how quarterbacks that come into the league young and how they benefit from sitting behind a veteran. I mean, 12 years he got to sit and figure out what he wanted to do when he got the main gig. I mean, could you have been that? I don't think you could have been that patient, Jimbo. I think you're taking jobs elsewhere for sure.
You might know me a little too well, Glenn, but it all, I mean, look, if it was the Ravens, I would be patient.
Oh,
me, right? Obviously.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Yeah.
You know, but Eric, different situation, but yeah, but we also don't know what his pay was.
That's true, but
they could have been paying him pretty handsomely to hang around.
They could have. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, shout out to Eric for playing that. I think it's worked out, right? Because chances are he's here till he retires. I don't see, you know, he's here as long as he wants to be. So, right. You know, nothing like that, man. And I also think it helps if I'm not mistaken, his wife is from here and used to work for the Ravens as well.
The second part, I don't know, but I know she's from here. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, obviously I'm sure she wanted to hang around.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
But yeah, no, still surprising. 12 years. That's a lot of life.
A long time to wait.
A long training period.
But I also wanted to get your take. The Chargers do it again, man. They get Ben Mason this time. Bench Mason.
Take him.
You're not worried about
no.
No, the Chargers.
No. Glenn, I was the only one on this show. I never believed in Ben Mason. I never wanted to get rid of Patrick Ricard. That dude, no thank you. No, and then when he went to the Patriots, he was dead to me. Even when he came back, the Ravens just did it to cut him again.
Is that all this is?
They needed a camp body, and they said, "Forget it, we're going to cut you again."
Because when he walked out, he was like, "I quit. Y'all didn't fire me. I quit." And then they were like, "We got to fix that. We got to hire him back so we can fire his ass."
That's right.
That's what it was.
Yeah, no, but I mean, look, good for the Chargers. Good luck with it. Obviously, he's going to get play with G-Row there, it is what it is, but I didn't want Ben Mason anyway. He cannot hold a candle to Patrick Ricard's game. Let's be honest. Can he? In your opinion?
No, of course not. I mean, look, one thing I think we've learned also over this offseason is that Patrick Carr is going absolutely nowhere. They talk about him all the time. I heard Derrick Henry bringing him up on multiple occasions and how fun it's going to be to run behind that guy. But yeah, no, that's a different level. That guy, Patrick Ricard, is such a freak show of an athlete for what he can do at his size. I mean, obviously, we talk about it all the time. He's super underrated just as an athlete. Like, he's a freak. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely crazy.
No, it's insane. Just really quickly as a sidebar to that. Glenn, when you watch the race in October, look for the big dudes that are running where I'm running because they're the freaks. The tall, skinny dudes, but the dudes that are like jacked.
Yeah.
That are like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That are running up by, you know, in my heat. Like, not that I'm crazy fast, but to be able to do that at 200 pounds is just wild. And he's that type of guy, you know? It's just insane. But the other thing I want to talk about is another Raven, and that's J.K. Dobbins. He got some bad news today. Went to go visit the Kansas City Chiefs, and they decided they were sticking with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They signed into a one-year deal right after that, I guess.
Why are you laughing like a villain? What is funny?
I mean, I think it's not funny. I think J.K. just needs to be here. Like, I want J.K. here in Baltimore.
Okay.
I do. I want him in our backfield. And, like, I don't want the – part of the reason I'm laughing is because Kansas City Chiefs made the wrong decision. Hurt or not, J.K. Dobbins is a better football player than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Let's be honest. The dude is like Monty Ball 2.0. Remember Monty Ball?
Oh, I remember Monty Ball. Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's just a Monty Ball all over again. And, like, that's not what they drafted him to be. So, they just made the wrong decision. I think J.K. is a better football player. I mean, don't you agree?
I think he certainly has the more potential as the higher ceiling. Maybe Edwards-Helaire has the higher floor in that he doesn't have the – yeah, at least he doesn't have the terrible injury history. But
– yeah.
One thing I will say, I don't think Edwards-Helaire's one-year deal means they won't sign J.K. Dobbins. I think there's still very much so room for J.K. with Clyde Edwards-Helaire there on a one-year deal. So I wouldn't say that this necessarily means that they're out on the J.K. Dobbins party. But look, I don't like the Chiefs getting good players.
Right, right.
So in that regard, I'm not that mad that he didn't leave there with a contract. I'm hopeful that he signs somewhere where we don't have to deal with him, because if he doesn't get hurt, Jimbo, he certainly has a chip on his shoulder that is massive. And I don't want to be on the receiving end of that. If he's in the Chiefs backfield, he has a whole season. Now we got to play him in the playoffs and he's coming out of the back. I mean, I don't want no parts of that. So yeah, he can, he just go sign the NFC, bro. Just go sign somewhere where we don't have to deal with you.
Or come back to Baltimore, right? Like, are you still in favor of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess I don't believe J.K. wants to be here. So I think I'm kind of moving on mentally from him being here, because I do think the Ravens wouldn't mind having him here, even though I don't think they were necessarily a fan of some of the social media. You know, the fact that he was outwardly he was expressive about his unhappiness at times. I don't think people, the Ravens, like that. But I do think they would take him back. I don't think he wants to come back, though.
Well, Glenn, I got other big news around the league.
Big news? Let me hear it.
Big news. Chase Claypool, did you hear about this one?
Oh, my goodness.
Did you hear about it?
Mapletron? No. Is he out of the league yet?
He's going home.
Home?
He's looking like he's going to play in the CFL.
Oh, man. Dude, things fell off the cliff quick.
How can you be that big and that fast and have relative production in the NFL and be disliked as a human being that bad? That's really all it is, right?
He must be an absolute jerk. And because I don't think it's, I mean, he can't be like a tireless worker, but he doesn't ever look out of shape. So I don't know if it's a work thing. He just seems unlikable as hell.
Yeah. Man, crazy, look, right?
You gotta be likable, man, in this world.
You gotta be. I mean, his boy's still got a job, right? Miles Boykin.
Dude, Miles Boykin is going to have a longer career than Chase Claypool.
Right?
That is nutty. When you think about how they burst, how they came onto the scene, how different. Yeah, dude. He thought he was him though, didn't he? I mean, Steelers fans thought he was. They had the audacity to call that guy Mapletron. To any type of relation to Calvin Johnson is so outlandish and disrespectful. I mean, whoo.
Yeah,
that's shameful.
Absolutely. I did want to talk about one more thing around the league just briefly before we get into the draft, I did see on the Ravens website, and I don't want to give this too much airtime, but a Steelers pundit did say that he believes that the Baltimore Ravens window is now closed. After losing the defensive coordinator and multiple pieces on the defense, his basic justification was that the defense will never be as good as it was last year. And the AFC as a whole and the division has gotten better. So they do not have enough to take advantage. They didn't take advantage of it then. And now they don't have enough to recover from a defense that's clearly going to regress. Glenn, what say you about all of that?
Well, first of all, anybody writing about that kind of stuff right now is kind of silly, unless they're just trying to,
put the content out there, baby.
Yeah, get reaction. I get that. I will say, with every year this happens to the Ravens, where every team around them signs the shiny new toys and they look like their roster is ready to compete. But what do we see at season's end? We see the Ravens right up there competing for the number one seed in the AFC. And I don't think that's going to change as long as, they focus on the guys that we lost. How about let's focus on the core, the group that we still have here that's very young, that's still very talented with Kyle Hamilton, with Lamar Jackson. I mean, just on the offensive side of the ball with Linderbaum and Zay Flowers and Likely and Andrew. I mean, everybody's acting like the cupboard is all of a sudden bare.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Some guys. Yeah, I mean, both sides of the ball is still just absolutely covered with talent. So I get some of the apprehension about wanting to say the defense is going to be as good as it was last year when you consider what they led in all those categories with the changeover. But to say the team's window is closed is nonsensical, because I think it's reasonable to think the offense is going to be better. I mean, we lost one of our top eight pass catchers, and that's OBJ. Our offensive line needs some work. I'll give you that. But Derrick Henry, you can't tell me that's not a hell of an upgrade. You're now in year two of an offense instead of year one. You can't tell me that's not a huge advantage.
Zay's going to be better. Bateman's going to be better. Likely's going to be a bigger piece of the offense. Lamar's going to be in year two, like you said, with Monken. So, dude, there's so much there. I just think that this is someone that is upset because currently, as it stands, they are in a windowless dungeon. And so they don't even have a window to close.
Yep.
Right? Like, they don't have a quarter. They don't. Right. I mean, it's just, let's call it what it is. They don't have a quarterback, right? Like, they're recycling guys at this point. I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs. And yeah, he even brought it up. The Ravens, even as good as they were last year in Lamar's career, he's like 1-3 against the Steelers or something like that or whatever. Two of those games didn't even count, right? Like, we had already tied up the division or whatever, or the division. So it's just, I don't know. It seemed he was stat baiting to me and seemed kind of jealous and bitter and petty. But ultimately, I agree with you. Look, if there's two things that happen in the season, the Ravens are going to find success. In fact, I've made a very long-term bet on this. I believe the Ravens will always have double-digit wins if Lamar Jackson is healthy for an entire season and if John Harbaugh is the head coach. I don't even need to see more outside of that. If those two are together, they can pile a winning formula. Now, I'm not saying you don't need other guys, but I feel like if those two are there, they can bring everyone else along. But yeah. I think head coach to quarterback combination, there's not too many better. And I think those two guys can produce double-digit wins. Like, tell me that's not a successful season opportunity to get in the playoffs. You're out of your mind.
That's right.
Yep. So, no, I think it's crazy. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up because, and he also talked about PQ leaving and, of course, signing with the Steelers.
Devastating.
So, you know how I feel about that.
Devastating is all we need to say.
Yeah. Dude, he literally blocked all of Ravens media.
Did he really?
Yeah, it's all wild to me, dude.
Hey, look, we were blocked way before it was cool.
Right, we were the first. We started the trend.
Way
dude.
Before, bro. I mean.
Like, we started the trend. I'm just
Everybody's
saying.
Like, hey, we got blocked too. It's like, chill out, bro. Yeah,
2 years in this, dude.
We were first, bro.
2 years in this.
You guys are late to the party.
No yeah, anyway. I think it's crazy. But, Glenn, is it time we transition to talking draft? You got some other stuff you want to? Oh, wait. Do you want to talk about the Rashee Rice stuff? You were talking about it. I think it's relatively intriguing. What's going on?
Yeah, it's pretty nutty. I mean, so if you guys aren't aware, the wide receiver from the Kansas City Chiefs, rookie last year, heading into his second year, Rashee Rice, Looks like he was involved in some sort of a street racing. DUI is what I'll say, but obviously no charges have been brought to him yet. But he seen leaving a bar after he was posted on social media drinking with friends and family. He leaves the bar. We later see a dash cam footage of a Corvette and a Lamborghini racing. There was a pretty bad crash. And then we see later more footage from a bystander with their phone where we can see Rashee Rice leaving with others from the scene. And it was reported from a person who was a woman you can kind of hear off camera talk about how they emptied out the Lamborghini. There was allegedly weapons and possibly other things getting pulled out of the vehicle. They get out of the scene of the crime. They run away from the scene. And the guy even asks the group of men as they're walking by him on the shoulder of what looks to be some sort of an overpass or a highway. He says, "You guys just going to leave?" And they ignore him and continue to walk. So I can only assume, and we talked about this, bless you. I
thank you.
Again, this is an assumption. We don't know, but I can only assume someone leaving the scene would trying to avoid DUI would be the most logical assumption. But obviously we don't know what's going to happen yet, but man, these wide receivers driving fast, they don't want to just run fast, Jimbo. They want to drive real, real fast too.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. They would risk all this potential and future they have because they want to go fast in their Lambo.
You know what else is crazy to me? Was he a fifth round pick?
Was it that late? I thought it was higher than that.
Fourth round pick. I don't think so. I'm going to double check, but
okay.
Draft. Hold on. Before I say this, let's see.
But you think about Henry Ruggs, who's now in prison, who had the career in front of him, was the first round pick, was this arguably the fastest player. He's now in prison because he killed someone and their dog in a fire because of the same thing. But when was he drafted?
No, my bad. He was 55. He was way earlier in the fifth round. Yeah. Second round. But even all that being said, Glenn, it's crazy. So I just also read this. He was leasing the Lambo.
Oh,
stupid. Why lease any? I don't know what anybody else's financial situation out there is, but me, I'm a Craigslist car buyer. And it's like, dude, you're a second round guy. Like, it's not even you didn't even hit a big contract yet. You're leasing the Lambo and you own the Corvette that you were racing against.
Oh, I didn't even know that either.
So you have a thing for cars. Like I don't know who's giving this guy any advice on his life, but he needs new people in his circle. If his family is letting him leave and getting a Lambo while potentially intoxicated, what are we talking about
here? You got to surround yourself with people that tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, too.
Exactly, man. Who's
letting this guy have keys to any vehicle?
Right.
Like, it's so crazy to me.
Dude, if I really cared about somebody, let me tell you what, Glenn. I'll tell you this straight up on the show.
Tell me
if you, for some reason, wanted to get in your car and drive, and I took your keys and you were ready to fight me, I would take a punch to the face rather than give you your car keys back. I would just let you haul off and hit me in the face.
Dude, just
now, that's a big deal because this is a moneymaker right here.
That's right. That's right. And I would never damage that moneymaker, let me tell you. But
I'm straight up, dude. I'd rather you punch me in the face. You know what I mean? Because if you care about somebody, why do you want, you know, why do you put somebody in that situation?
And even if you're not, like, even if you don't care about him, if you're just looking at it from a slimy point of view, he's not going to keep getting that money that you're hoping he keeps getting and taking you out to these
that you're
nice
benefiting
times.
From.
Yeah, like, all that's going to go away too, buddy. So, like, even if you don't even care about him, if you just want to be a better leech, then leech off of him better and don't let him get arrested. Like, this is
exactly.
There's no way. I mean, he may avoid the DUI since he left the scene, but that adds to leaving the scene. I don't know. I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, but it's just a bad look.
Not good. No. And Hollywood's, I don't know how Hollywood's feeling, but he must be thinking, well, that's some more targets for me. That changes the target share.
Absolutely. Yeah, him and that rugby kid.
Yeah. I know. By the way, I don't buy into the rugby thing at all, but do you really think he's faster? Because I saw he was clocked at a higher speed. Now, he's not in football gear.
Yeah.
But apparently he was clocked at a higher speed than Tyreek Hill and all them in rugby is what I was reading.
Well, I think that I buy the speed. I do. I buy speed. But this is the thing. So I had the opportunity to actually hang with a lot of guys that grew up playing rugby and transition to football. And the biggest part about it is the way that people use the pads. It's you know, it's a different – rugby is crazy physical, right? But because you don't have the pads psychologically, it's so different. You don't have a weapon on your head, right?
Right, yeah.
And so it's just a different game. I mean, it's so different. I don't know if you guys want some comedy. So I coached lacrosse at the high school that Haloti Ngata went to and played rugby at. I think there's some stuff on YouTube about Haloti Ngata playing rugby in high school, and it's hilarious. Oof. So some of the best athletes we've seen in the NFL, and certainly from the Polynesian region and heritage, is because of rugby, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's definitely the a lot of translatable skills, but I don't know about the skill positions because there's more nuance to it than, like, wreck everything in front of you. I'm not saying there's not nuance to the boys up front, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. And also, will it be instinctual for him to use his pads in the way you kind of have to if you're in the league? I did see a clip of a guy who, an American football player, going and playing rugby, and he was absolutely wrecking dudes by just putting his – and just going through people.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be used to it. But I do think it's at least interesting that – you're searching all corners of the globe. I do kind of respect that. I like that.
Yeah.
Let's see. There he is. Here we go. Look at. Okay. So 4.43. All right. So, hey, look, not everybody does as well in the 40-yard dash. Yeah. What I was reading is what he did. He was clocked at
in a game
versus the best clocks in a game in the NFL. Yeah. And apparently he was faster, but.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, there might be more opportunity for you to really, really gain speed. In a Look you know what I'm saying dude. In a rugby game, Jordan, you just have more time.
Maybe there's more open space.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, I think there's more continuous play, and so dude, yeah, 24? If you already get that ball, yeah, that's insane.
That's fast, bro.
Yeah, that's absolutely wild. But if you see the videos of him and like when he's running routes, it doesn't look great.
I wouldn't expect it to.
It seems like it's like high, like he doesn't drop his hips and stuff like that. Stuff that just takes longer to continue to perfect. He might get, you know, he might improve as that goes on, but I see him doing well special teams.
Well, there you go. I mean, if nothing else, if he can at least become a quality special teamer for him, then
yeah. Because special teams is the closest thing to rugby I think there is.
That's a good point. And maybe this new kick return.
Yeah, I think it, right.
Maybe
the other dude that grew up playing rugby, who's the kid, the left tackle for the Eagles?
Did he
he's
really?
A seventh
oh
round
my
pick.
God, he's huge.
Yeah, he's massive. He's a seventh round pick. Yeah, he's a rugby player. Even Falele has some rugby in his past. I mean, yeah.
That's insane. But I did want to get your take quickly on that Falele piece. I DK pointed out that the Ravens ran like a quick little video. I think it was Garrett Downing ran the video talking about the Ravens have confidence in Falele being currently set as the starting right tackle. And I watched the video and I heard coach's comments when he talked about in the comments level, and I couldn't help but think that was, I mean, maybe a bit more than coach speak, and that they're hopeful. But what chances do you give of Falele getting the starting job for the season?
Man, I might be a like optimist to my death, Glenn. Mm-hmm. But I think there are some things that are worth noting that are in Falele's favor. One, we've talked about this before, very young as a football player. Mm-hmm. Right? Still very young as a football player. And so what that means to me is that if you have the drive, if you have the discipline, if you have the athleticism, you can quickly improve. I also think that there are physical gifts that he has that you can't teach, similar to Orlando Brown Jr., mm-hmm. or, you know, other guys that are just absolutely, like, I think of Bryant McKinney, which absolutely massive. Yeah. So I think that there's a chance he could be serviceable, right? DK thinks it's absolutely false.
They're blowing.
I'm speaking as a proxy for DK. He's trying to say more, but, anyway, so what I'm trying to say, though, Glenn, is that there's a chance this kid can improve. I know people have said he's slow. I know people have said, but that's something he can improve on and improve on quickly. I firmly believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't buy into the needs to lose the weight thing, because if you watch, look at him. If you remember this, DK, we were at the AFC Championship game, Glenn, and we went down and when you guys were out watching the interviews with like Anquan Boldin and stuff like that, we were watching warmups, and you watch Falele next to Morgan Moses, and Falele carries his weight way better than Morgan Moses, where Morgan Moses looks like a what have you used to call this before, Glenn? Like a frog standing straight on his hind legs,
no ass.
Yeah,
his pants are like baggy in his ass.
Yeah, like nothing to him. And Falele is just an absolute tree trunk.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You know, so I don't.
But the question is, does he move quick enough?
Right. So if he has to lose weight to get quicker, then I get that. But I think that if that's your own, like that's your biggest concern, that's not a crazy concern for me if he's willing to put in the work. I think he's got a much better chance of success than Ben Cleveland, because Ben Cleveland just simply doesn't seem athletic enough, where I don't get that feeling with Falele.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, let's hope that if needed, that both of them guys are ready to go, because it could very well come down to that. And even if they add guys, it could come down to that due to injuries. Last question before we get into the draft.
Wait, but how are you feeling about it, though?
I think it was all just coaches speak to try and motivate Falele. I don't think there's a lot of internal confidence that he could be the starting right tackle. Not to say that couldn't change, but I think they're prepared I don't think they think their right tackle is on the roster just yet. They're starting right tackle, but you never know. He could be one of those guys. We've seen it so many times where they just take a little bit longer to develop. And like you said, maybe weight loss will help with that first step. And because the thing I worry about is speed rushers he needs help with. And I don't want a guy who where you have to constantly help at right tackle. I don't want that. My guy Cakes in the chat finally caught alive. Much love to the 410 fam. Yes, sir. It's been way too long, Cakes. Seriously. Appreciate you jumping in here. It's been a long time, but I gotta know, Cakes, are you a baseball fan too? Or is it just the Ravens for you? Because right now the O's are in trouble. They're down 4-1 in the ninth. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious. But shout out to Cakes. Appreciate your generosity as always. What's your take on this videos that have been circulating with Zay Flowers offseason training with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle? I think I saw Hollywood even in the tail end of the video. What's your thoughts on him training with those guys? You excited about it?
I mean, on the field, great. Not my favorite group for him to be running with, if I'm being honest. Like, I don't know much about Waddle or honestly about Hollywood.
He
seems pretty chill, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't get to look. This is just me. Like, if he were my kid, I'd be like, maybe don't hang out with Tyreek Hill too much.
Yeah.
Like,
he's had some off the field issues.
You know what I mean? Like, probably not on the field. Sure. I'm not here to judge a guy, but if he were my son, I'd be like, just keep it on the field.
That's right.
You know,
that's
type
right.
thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's anywhere he can go to extract techniques and skills and learn. The only way you get better is being around people that are better than you. Right. I don't even know if all those guys are better than him, but certainly Tyreek Hill's been incredibly successful. Mm-hmm. Good. I mean, keep putting in the work, man. That's what I want to see. It's better seeing that than like coming into camp, haven't seen nothing, I guess, right?
Well, I think, any, like you said, anytime you're getting good quality work, and I'm assuming it's not just them. I'm assuming there was some sort of coach or like a private wide receiver coach that was out there. And yeah,
dude, that's working. The job. I should have got into that. If I could do it again.
Dude, you could be a private running coach, bro.
Dude, I've thought about it.
You could do it.
Dude, this is my pitch. Look, dude, I've been there because I can coach you because I've been there. Like, I wasn't a pro. I wasn't a pro. You know, I've been.
I'd sign you up, dude. See if you can get drunk, Dr. Uncle Bob into shape.
Oh, dude, we'll have him running a sub-4 marathon, baby.
No way in hell.
Oh, yeah. If he really wanted to do it, dude, oh, for sure.
He might. Okay. All right. Well, let's get into it and let's see what we can come up with here.
Yeah, I'm excited for this.
Now, the thing that's challenging is that we typically use PFFs.
Yeah.
But PFF is usually very different than a lot of the other draft, these sources where you can get the boards and see their big boards and how they rank players. They're usually pretty unique. So I was doing them both on here and elsewhere.
Yeah.
And getting vastly different results between the two. So I'm going to try and even that out to where we kind of have a similar. Now, how are we doing this? You want me to run it? Am I running it?
Yeah, that's fine if you don't mind.
I don't mind. I'll run it. I'll run it here. Let's see here. All right. So the way I'm trying to make it as accurate to what's really going to happen and not necessarily who's going to be right in the long run. Like, because a lot of the, like PFF, they're trying to be right as far as predicting guys and how they're going to be in the NFL. I don't really care about that. I care about accuracy right now for this portion because I want to know who's going before the Ravens pick. That's what I want to freaking know.
Yep.
But let's set it up here. I'll throw it up. Add the stage. And then, there we go. All right, so three rounds. Ravens, I think this situation here is where I'm never sure. I typically go right the middle of the road for the public versus PFF, but maybe I should go all public. What do you think?
One notch below. We'll give PFF a little nod.
Little nod right there?
No, like, oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind. Yes, that's perfect. Yeah.
Okay. How about the rest? Do you want to take off randomness?
Take off randomness. And let's up the care for positional. Or sorry, you have the right one. Draft for needs. Yeah, I like that you upped that.
Okay.
Care for positional value. I mean, I like that actually is where it's at. Because I think that, like you said, we're trying to simulate the actual reality of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Some teams are all about positional value. Some teams, the Ravens honestly don't care. They've shown that.
That's fact.
You know what I mean? Like when they took Kyle Hamilton. So I think this is good. Yeah. Now, okay. Do you have the right amount of rounds?
Three, yes.
All right, cool.
Three rounds. I think I do.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Or maybe you did all seven.
Did I do all seven? We're going to find out. All right, here we go. Starting the draft. And I did like to see at the top there some of what I kind of expected to see. Okay, I did do three.
Yeah, let's run down it real quick.
So I do like to see that it's quarterback, 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 because that is the way I think it's going to go. Now, whether or not a team trades down, I don't think they will, but it's possible that the Patriots could look at this year as like a redshirt year for themselves and for the coach and say, we don't like the third quarterback. But I do think it goes quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then after that, I mean, who the heck?
Dude, you know what we should do? Let's just – next time, let's do the whole first round and, like, the actual whole first round, what we believe. That way we at least think what we know to be true is the you know, what the Ravens have
built.
Anyway, all right. So, yeah, I agree with you because you bring up a good point. There's a chance that the Patriots, choosing that 34, if I'm not mistaken, could want to hold tight and could trade out a third.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's going to be –
you can get their quarterback later.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one there. All right, so –
wait, can you go down one more time? I didn't get a good look at all those.
So Chop Robinson goes, the best corner, I think, in a lot of people's minds. Kool-Aid is gone. The best center's gone. Bunch of tackles are going, Jimbo.
Yeah.
A bunch Mims, of them.
Yeah.
I mean, holy smokes. The corners have been absolutely picked up.
J.J. McCarthy, dude, going to the Vikings. What do you think about that kid?
I like him. I don't know. He has to go to the right situation. I wouldn't mind the Vikings. I think
is he the
nice
next
situation.
Kenny Pickett?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. All right. So the Ravens needs, let's sort it by needs here. Yep. All right. Let's go interior.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm. And we can put corner in there.
Yeah, I'll put wide out on there. I'll put corner and then I'll go edge. Is that fair? Yeah.
Fair.
All right, that's the biggest, most glaring needs. All right, so under that, look, this guy's intriguing to me, Jimbo, because he is a big body guy. He's 6'4", he's 196, he's a good athlete. But what I don't like to see, and what I continued to see when I would look into Mitchell here, is that he doesn't necessarily play like a 6'4 guy. He's a bit more of a finesse guy. And I kind of want a bully out of a 6'4 corner or wide receiver. I want a guy who's going to go up and get those 50-50s and impose his will on a smaller corner or safety. I don't necessarily love a guy who's could do better at attacking the ball in the air. I don't like seeing that from a 6'4
guy.
Yeah,
no basket catches.
So even though I like him, I don't necessarily like him right there.
Yeah.
See, I don't like how this is.
How it fell.
Go ahead.
And I was gonna ask about the tackles. We haven't seen a tackle yet.
Morgan is the guy who DraftPlex has currently mocked to us. He believes in this guy. He's a big boy, he's 6'6", 320. But we picked him in the last one, so I didn't want to pick him in this.
Yeah.
One. You know, I thought that
and
was
unfortunately, I think until he changed my mind. Not that there aren't other possibilities, a lot of it will depend on how the board falls, but I think this ends up being the guy.
I know. It's so hard to get away from him because he's always here in PFF. But when I did other mocks and other ones.
He's taken?
No, Tyler Guyton was there. Like other tackles were available. Chop Robinson was available in a lot of them.
Yeah.
I took him in a couple of the mocks. But I did take Jordan Morgan in a lot of them because he's got a visit scheduled. And he's in a position of need. And I do think, you know, there's a good chance he's going to be taken.
Are we sticking and picking? This is who I can see
you
them
like
going
Kingsley.
With Kingsley.
Yeah, I know. I just think Kingsley, so if they athletic. Go Kingsley, I think they trade back to get Kingsley.
Yeah, you can trade back and get him. Can we take a look at him? Yeah.
Yeah, let's take a look at what he's got.
He's just a very athletic guy.
He's big boy, too. Mm-hmm. And you know they love athletic guys when it comes to their tackles because they like guys that can get out and remove.
And it's most
Xavier
likely,
Leggett is not gone, guys. He's still out there. He's still out there.
And it's most likely that he's not – that he's going to pass the character check.
Oh, for sure.
It's likely, you know.
Yeah, let me see.
I can't
say
that about every BYU guy, but
yeah, Leggett.
Feel good about this one.
Leggett's still available, and I like Leggett. Actually, I have him a little bit later in the draft circled, maybe for the next round. The only thing, I can't get on board with them taking a wide receiver in the first round. I can't get on board with it. They've done too much wide receiver in the first round lately, and it's not, to me, even the top three area of need right now. So why, you got a guy that's so much better than everyone else around him.
Somebody crazy falls, you know, that's unseen.
I just don't see it. And by the way, the team is not allergic. I believe they still have drafted more wide receivers than any team since Eric DeCosta has taken over.
Yeah.
So the team is not allergic to taking wideouts, and I do think they will. I just don't think with the first pick, when they just did it with Bateman, just did it last year with Flowers. I mean, did it recently with Hollywood. I mean, this is a lot of first-round picks being wide receiver. To say they would do it again, I think is I'm not so sure. Don C says, great show, guys. Great chat, DK. Please clip Jimmy's money maker comment. It would be funny at our next meet and greet. There you go, Jimbo.
Well, you guys know intern Brad is back, so it might end up on Instagram. I don't know how any of that works, but somehow it could end up there.
Yeah.
But look, Glenn, I stand by my words. I would literally take a charge.
What do you mean?
I would take the punch right to the face.
Okay. But I'm not so sure if I got myself in trouble by just running my mouth that you would take that same punch. You know, like if I ran my mouth, got myself in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, not as willingly.
Because you'd be like, "That's it. I pray he probably deserves it."
But I might try and do like the, look over there, Glenn, run.
Like hit the lights. Like
I might try and like give you like a 15-second Mississippi, you know? To like get to
hey,
like
that's
get
all I need, it. Dude. That's all that's I need, bro. I can just disappear.
Because I know, okay, if I give you 15 seconds, I can distract these guys. And if I can scoot, I'll catch up to you.
But oh, yeah, for sure.
You'll have enough distance to be out there, you know, and we'll be all right. So, you know, I won't run.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Just pick up a weapon. That's what I say.
Glenn, just arm yourself. Jail, ladies and gentlemen.
Arm yourself.
Just pick up a weapon.
That's all you got to do. Great. Arm yourself. Look. I'm super disappointed that Chop Robinson's gone because I really wanted to take him with the first pick. And he was there for so many of my mocks earlier that I was doing because I was doing quite a few.
What do you like about Chop so much?
Well, I just love the potential of how explosive he is. I love guys that until they learn their moves can rely on quick twitch explosiveness and can just flat out beat your tackle to the edge. And I have a ton of confidence in what Chuck Smith's already done with the current guys in the room. And if he got his hands on an athlete like Chop Robinson, I think this guy could be a premier rusher. And let's be honest, with seeing Clowney sign elsewhere.
Yeah.
I know Coach Harbaugh talked up Ajabo and Adafe Owe, and I like those guys, but I think we need more guys in the room. And I think we need some, I like Kyle Van Noy, but I would not mind seeing some youth.
Yeah, no, I agree. Some fresh hope.
Well, look, if we're supposed to be competing, BP says we're supposed to be competing, dude. Are we supposed to be competing? Because if that's the case.
Well, I already have a list, but we can.
I got a list, too.
Well, let's just do this three together, and then we'll compare our draft picks. But let's do this three together. Now, really quickly, do you want to trade? If not, let's just go with the guy we like. I mean, I like, even though he's lower, let's just go with Kingsley, dude.
Now, you know what? You like Morgan.
I like Kingsley more than Morgan.
All right. You do.
As a player.
Okay.
Yeah, I like
Man,
Kingsley
dude,
better.
Where is this guy coming from, dude? Talking up a BYUer.
Why? And my hate runs deep. So you know I like
him.
Because very few it's like the Steelers. And BYU's right there. I might hate BYU more than the Steelers, Glenn. Dang. Low key.
You know what? You know what I like about this guy? Because what I'm looking for in the first round is a tackle. Is a guy who plays right tackle this year, but transitions to left tackle in the near future when Stanley's gone. That I'm not necessarily looking for my right tackle. I'm looking for my left tackle who can play right for one season.
That's fair.
That's what I'm looking
for.
I didn't
think that far, but that's a great.
And I like this guy. I like this guy for that purpose because I do think he'd benefit from that. But all right, so you go Kingsley. And I go Jordan Morgan. All right, we're going to put Kingsley on the board, but just know, guys, this is a competition. I took
Jordan Morgan. Oh, yeah, this is my pick. Yeah, this is my pick in my actual one. But this one is not – okay, anyway, yes. I'll reveal to you my three that I did on my own. And then Tariq Keek says, would they risk and trade up for Fashanu slash Alt?
I think they might. I mean, I know it's like it's counterintuitive because the Ravens typically like to acquire more picks and trade back and trade down. And you think with a deep tackle draft that they could do that this year, still get a guy that they believe
in. Right, because realistically, if they were in this situation, they could trade back and get Kingsley.
They could.
You know,
or Morgan in this situation.
We just didn't do it, but they could have certainly done it.
They could have done it. But at the same point, I think Tariq, I think they could. If they believe that guy is a cornerstone type player, I think there's a shot they could do it. Because here's what they know that's coming. Next year, they're getting the maximum. No matter what they do from here on out, as many players as they lost, they're going to max out comp picks at four. They're going to max it out. Even if they sign guys now, because they've lost so many, and you only can get max of four. So they have to sign five players to counter all that. So they know they're going to have a ton of draft picks next year. So maybe they say, we'll couple next year's four. You know, like leverage some of next year's picks, knowing you're getting four more comp picks next year. My man got the sniffles tonight, bro.
Yeah, you want to know what happened? I was making some food with Henry, and he kept grabbing the flour and putting it on my face.
Who? And
Henry.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
And so, anyway, it's just flour on my face.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You're allowed to have flour in your face. All right, let's move on. Second round. Let me see if any of my guys are here. I got a list over here to my right. All right. Okay. All right. So what in the second round, you got your tackle. What's your area of need I should be sorting this by that you want to attack here, Jimbo?
Yeah. So for me, I'm going right to interior. As far as prioritizing things, I'm not done at the offensive line.
Okay. Fair.
What about you?
No, I think that's good. I'm going to keep dude, every time I was doing this, I kept trying to find where I could get corner for value.
Yeah.
And dude, I just never.
I got a guy for you, my man. But you know what? I'm not going to reveal him unto you because.
Unto you. okay. All right. I like that. Well, because I never got one where I felt like the value is there. And I feel like, you know, the rate that I also like. Like, I want an outside guy. I want a guy that can play outside. I want a guy who can tackle. But see, that's kind of crazy because this is a guy I like, dude. Christian Mahogany. Now, I like him more in the third round than I do in the second. But let me just tell you about old Christian here.
Yeah.
First of all, you know, he's a big physical guy. You know, that's what you like to see. He's a big physical guy. He's just built well. You know what I mean? He's just built well.
With a barrel chest.
You know, he's just a guy who likes to put guys in the dirt is what I like about him. Now,
look at this, dude. Look, and plenty of sand in the pants.
You know what I'm saying? You want sand in the pants when you're talking about your offensive line. You don't want no baggy back draws. Okay. That's not what you want. But
no,
I like this guy. I'd like him more in the third round. Than I do in the second, but I'd be okay with it, I guess. But is there anybody else you want me to look
up? Yeah, well, I mean, if you go back up to the top, I can tell you where I want you to click on this guy and read about him a little bit. Keep going. Okay. So let's talk about Christian Haynes.
You like Christian? Let me see. I did look into Christian.
So there's a couple things that just stick out to me that seem like Ravens. If you go to him, very first thing right there, 4 years starting right guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a true position and he started for 4 years. But he's also a big boy. He's only slightly smaller than the other guy we just looked at. He showed leadership. He has good tape. He has, you know, starting potential and measurables. I'm not saying this guy is going to be a career Pro Bowler, but you know, I think he has the ability to be a Kevin Zeitler type career guy.
Wow. Okay.
And look, that's nothing to shake a stick at. So,
no.
I think Christian that this Haynes. Is a solid pick.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. I just think he's a more of a smaller guy in the sense, like, I think he'd be good. I just don't know if he fits what we're looking for, man. The big guy.
Yeah, well, he's only 10 pounds and 1 inch shorter than the other guy we just looked at.
Hey, look, 1 inch can make a big difference, Jimbo. Okay?
I guess.
All right. All right.
Ask Tyler Linderbaum how the sub 300-pound offensive lineman life is going.
I'm just saying, I'm looking at what we do typically at guard. And I don't know if he's got enough sand in the pants, as they say. You know what I mean?
I think he's all right.
I don't know if they got enough
sand. Wouldn't you rather have a guy that can move, though? Because, like, putting weight is cheap. Like, that's easy.
I guess so. I guess so.
You know what I mean? That's just my thought. Like,
anybody,
look. Anybody in the United States can gain weight. You live long enough here, you're going to gain some weight.
Let me tell you, you're not wrong.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like
your boy can put on the LBs. Anyway. How about, I mean, any of these wide receivers catching your eye?
No, I'm with you where, like, is a value thing for me at this point. And I wasn't in love with any of the edge guys. So, yeah, I don't know. We can take your guy, though, if you want, your guard.
No. That's okay. See, the thing is, it sucks is that, we have the least sexy draft ever so far.
Yeah, like, but no, look, welcome to the Ravens.
Is that what they do? Is that what they do? Actually, you know what? Here, let me check one guy. I didn't even check him yet. I have a guy written down right here to the side here. Let me see. He's gone. Dang it.
Who are you looking for?
Braylon Trice. He's an edge. Let me see. I like Braylon. Here he is right here. Yeah. I liked Braylon. I thought Braylon would be a good ad later on. 6'4", 270. You know, he's a powerful guy. I think the Ravens like when they get edges later on is guys that they know can at least can hold up in the run game while they can figure out their pass rush game. And
yeah, I'm only going to one team on defense in the Pac-12, and it ain't the Huskies. For real. There's only one team that cares about defense in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't find good players there, okay? Travis Jones was at UConn when they won, zero games, dude. And this
That's
guy
a good point.
Turned out.
But for some reason, I'm going to meander down to the SEC. I'm looking for an edge.
Meander. I love that. No, I like this guy, dude. I like this guy, and it's my pick. So get – oh, I can't. He's already been taken. Shit.
Yeah, I know.
Dang it, dude. Oh, my God,
dude. Where else do you want to go?
Well, I had a guy, Fisher, that I like, but he's – I liked him, but he's a tackle, and you just took a tackle.
No, dude, that's all right. Let's double up. What's the problem with that? One of these guys can play inside.
I mean, I guess, but I like – this was the guy I was thinking if they go – see, I went chop – in this particular draft, I went chop in the first round. I went – Blake Fisher in the second round because I think he is the type of guy that could start day one at right tackle for us. And excuse me, not embarrass
himself. Look at this kid.
And that's another thing that stood. I'm glad you mentioned that because Eric DaCosta talked about that, how age can sometimes be a big factor in where guys are slotted because it's just fact. When a guy's younger, he has more time to develop. So
yeah.
That I think does play a role, and I like Blake Fisher, but
dude, I don't know if you don't want to be too boring on the draft, we can take someone else, but I like it.
All right, I'm taking it.
We've said it a million times. JO played guard, nobody's above it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's more so like guys that I think because we're doing this like kind of meshed right now together.
Yeah.
I like that. I really like that guy. Look at my guy. Look at him. That's the guard I like right there. Yep. Right on top. Christian Mahomes.
My guy's gone, isn't he?
What's yours?
The kid out of UConn.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. Yeah, he's
is
gone.
He? Yeah.
But, dude, I like this guy a lot, too. Dominic Puney. I think is how you pronounce his name. I really like this guy if they have to try and find tackle help later. He's a big boy. Yeah, like if they don't find the value early on, I think this guy is more of like a guard that can move. I think he's more of a guard. And in fact, if I remember correctly, DraftFlex had him very highly rated as an interior guy. Let me see here. Guard here. Yeah, he has him right now as a rounds 2 to 3 guard.
Okay.
So if you're getting him at this, it's just a good value, I think, if you're getting him where you're getting him. It's 6'5", 320. He's a big boy. You put him in at guard. Or if you did not this year, he's a development guy. that maybe Voorhees is the guy for this year, but you know, we'll kind of wait and see. But
dude, how insane would it be? How crazy would the Baltimore Ravens fan base go if the Ravens went tackle, tackle, tackle? Knowing that they're going to put some guys at guard, stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? Those were their first three picks.
Yeah, that they would be furious. I also like Patrick Paul. It's another guy I wrote down.
Well, why don't you look up this kid? I know you've been looking for a corner. Jerrion Jones.
I like Jerrion. Okay, let me look up Jerrion. Dude, look at this.
Holy crap.
6'7".
Yeah.
He's a big boy. All right, Jerrion Jones. Let me see what Jerrion
J-A-R-R is the way he spells it.
Oh, I can spell Jones. Oh, and then I just drafted him.
Oh, geez.
Let's take a look at this guy. Hopefully I can still click on him. Damn it.
Oh, that's funny.
I can't.
Oh, we can go back to him.
Did they like it? That was our best pick of the draft. B+, baby. B+.
I like him. I like him a lot because you talked about slotting, like being able to adjust or play a position early and then moving to a different position. He's an outside guy, but his last year in college, he had a lot of success at slot. And so if you keep Brandon Stevens on the outside, you keep Marlon on the outside, he's big enough and he's got experience at outside. I think he could come in and bring some immediate value as we shore up that slot position, because we kind of have, you know, if Marlon ideally is on the outside, we know Marlon can play the slot very well, but we want him to stay outside, right?
Oh, for sure.
And so my thought is that, like, you have our Darius Washington, you have Pepe, you have, you know, some of these guys that play on the inside, but this kid is bigger. He's certainly taller, and he's had success at the college level at doing that role. And so, like, I mean, I feel like it could be a nice way for him to transition in. And then potentially, if he shows growth and we do let go of Marlon, I'm just saying potentially, possibly, right? Like, he could play on the outside as well. So that was kind of my thought here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the Ravens are no doubt going to add a corner at some point.
Yeah.
It's just where they get the value is the question. I like to see he didn't drop any interceptions. He only had three, but three's not bad in college level for one player to get at the corner position. Maybe at safety, you maybe have some more opportunities, but three picks and zero drop picks. As a corner, I like to see that, because what drives me crazy, like, you get one opportunity, maybe a game, to get your hands on a ball as a corner. And if you can't take advantage of that, it's like, it's amazing the difference to take advantage of that one opportunity versus if you don't, and that opportunity may not come back again for weeks or ever. So,
yeah,
depending on how long you get, you know, how long a leash you get. But I like reliable tackler. I like seeing that. I'm not mad about that. But
yeah. I think there's a lot of good things to this kid's game at this spot in the draft.
Yeah. At the spot we were talking.
Yeah. Sorry. Exactly. There.
But I see in this one. Oh, in this one, Kool-Aid is available, dude.
I've never had one. Just a little bit, right?
Huh?
We had the randomness up just a tick.
No, in this one, I turned randomness completely off. Redid
look
it.
Look at that. He was still on the board.
Yeah. I just took randomness completely off. This guy, I mean, obviously the Alabama connections wouldn't hurt, but
yeah,
he started as a true freshman for Nick Saban.
Yeah, that's insane.
I mean, just that alone, and when you think about, you know, kind of an old school guy, and man, that's pretty impressive stuff. But this guy, if he's available, I want Kool-Aid McKinstry on my team. I mean, you talk about, I mean, this is a number one type corner. And you add that to that secondary, holy smokes, that would be terrifying. And then, yeah, we want Marlon to stay outside. But what if we had a guy outside that was that good that could say,
you know, get Marlon, all three of them on the field.
Go anywhere you want. And exactly. Brandon Stevens. I mean, I just every time I hear about people talk about it, I heard somebody pitching a topic for before they were heading into commercial. They said, who's this year's breakout player for the Ravens? Last year it was Brandon Stevens. This year, who would it be? It's like, man, it's a beautiful thing to hear, man.
It is. All they gotta do is call me up, dude.
Is that all it is?
That's all. I'll give you next year's breakout. Yeah, man.
Just gotta give you a call. I really like him. But I also, what's your thoughts on Chop? Oh, is he gone? Dang, he's gone. Dude, I did so many mocks. He was always there. First two we do here.
Oh. You know what, Glenn?
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. He's a Nittany. Is it because he's a Nittany Lion, bro? Is it because? Come on, man.
I told you. I only want one conference. One conference for Edge, okay?
That's it, huh?
Definitely. No. I mean, look, you got to take the kid as an individual, but he's young. He's super physical. I got to do some more study on this kid if you think he's truly going to be available. But look, I just don't want Adolfo Owe again.
Yeah.
I'm only human. I categorize things the way that I categorize things. He is associated with Adolfo Owe because they went to the same school. I've got to disassociate them in my mind. I have a simple brain.
Well, look, remember, Micah Parsons went there too.
True.
And that guy
couldn't be any different.
Come on, man. That guy's really good. So
yeah, it's crazy because he doesn't look nearly as athletically gifted as Adolfo, like walking off the bus. I'm not saying he doesn't look gifted, but like,
yeah, he's just Adolfo.
He could be a sculpture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's a freak show when it comes to.
Might have been better physically. Off getting into like bodybuilding or something.
You know what? I'm just gonna quickly do that and see what happens because I want Kool-Aid. If Kool-Aid's there, DK, he's a number one. I don't care what you have to say about number two. He's a number one corner. And look, we're not gonna forget Kool-Aid's name. Okay. So Don C says, I don't know if this mock draft gave us much insight, but it sure was a great time, guys. Glenn Martin.
I think we got some insight out of this.
I hope so. Look, we were expecting a guest tonight. We're gonna have to edit the title again. Dang it. So we were expecting to have some help breaking this draft down, but we didn't get the help tonight. But if we did, appreciate the generosity, Don C. And yes. I'm at least glad that you're being entertained, if nothing else. Look, since I went Kool-Aid, we'll go Christian with the second pick. We'll get your guy, Christian Haynes.
And then let's take Jerrion if he's there again.
Nah, you only get one pick.
Wait, but we both liked him, I thought.
Nah, I don't like him anymore.
Really?
Only because you liked him too much.
Wait, we'll just double down to the offensive line then and take the boy.
Yeah, I'm thinking Puni might be the guy.
Okay. Either just Puni take the other guard.
Or Paul. I do.
I don't like this kid. Just reading his stuff.
You don't like him? All right.
Yeah, like the bad posture, the pad level. He was a I don't know.
Okay. All right. I can move off of him. I'm not in love with the guy, you know? We'll go with Mahogany.
There we go. I like that one better.
That's our draft. Let's see what they say.
We got Ben Grubbs and Marshall Yanda all over again, dude.
Let me see. Oh!
Bam! What up, son?
Say something about our draft. Say something. Hold up.
Check that out, dude.
Dang, dude. Smells of rich mahogany. I like Christian Mahogany in that spot. If we would have just went tackle with number two, I think we would have been in really good shape. You know what I mean, Jimbo?
Yeah. Look, Falele is the guy, apparently.
That's true. They feel good about him. That's what they said on their website.
So they say on their website.
It must be true.
There we go. Well, look, Glenn, I think that was fun. I can tell you what, time flew by. I didn't realize it was 9:18.
Yeah. It did go by quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. We didn't find our guest or we didn't have our guest tonight, but
all right, next time
we're going to make it up to you next time, guys. I appreciate everyone who came out and spent some time with us. I love the activity in the chat.
Yeah, man.
Terry hates our draft. You know what? I knew Terry would hate our
draft. Wait, does that mean nasty good?
I'm going to guess bad.
Like that nasty was a nasty usually good, draft. But like
knowing
that?
Terry, I thought he would have wanted a wide receiver. So I didn't think Terry would like this. Dang, D-minus from Baltimore. Get up. Come on, be a little nicer. Look, I would have went tackle with number two. That was Jimmy's pick.
It was.
Jeremiah says we are not hired. Damn, dude.
That's okay. Look, people can say what they want to say. I'm not, you know, I'm standing on business.
I got you. Okay. Appreciate Tanja. Tanja's always here. Don C, always here. I mean, just legends.
Yeah.
Absolute legends. Lisa Ann, legends.
I'm just gonna defend myself really quickly. Just remember that everyone was complaining in the AFC Championship game about Lamar's lack of time. Everybody was complaining about John Simpson's penalties all year last year. We just got rid of Kevin Zeitler. Like, what do we do? We have no one at guard. Don't give me Ben Cleveland. And when our cupboard is bare and you got your wide receiver out there and Lamar's running for his dang life, don't complain about it, because this is what you wanted. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, everybody.
We got Voorhees. Stop it. Stop it. He hasn't played a down in the NFL.
That's true. I still like Voorhees. I'm hopeful.
Yes, but he hasn't played football in the NFL. He's been injured since his sophomore year in high school.
Look, I just know that people may complain about drafting O-linemen, but they are the same people who will complain like hell when Lamar's running for his life and there's no holes for Derrick Henry to run through and he's getting stonewalled at the line. I hope Ben Cleveland turns out to be a great player, and I hope Voorhees does as well, but I don't think any of us know if that's going to be the truth. So better keep the cupboard stocked in case you have to turn elsewhere. I do think it might be a little crazy to think that they would go back-to-back guards, but hey, you never know. BPA, baby. Best player available.
Amen. Kyle Hamilton, perfect example. But that's all. It's it for us tonight, folks. I just borderline woke up my son, so it's probably about a good time to end the show.
Yeah, you did get a little noisy there. But thanks for everyone. Thanks for everything, everyone. We'll see you guys in a couple days.
See you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.